As I mentioned yesterday, sometimes the shiur is not going to be exactly on what you learned today. Today, our shiur will be with Hashem on 2 points. There'll be two halves of the shiur. Try to get each half as best as you can. The first half will be on the inyan of toldos, which you learned about today also, but it really has a little more to do with yesterday's Gemara. And that'll be the first half. The other half of the shiur will be a general, very important klal in the whole Masechta. But let's see how much time we have. All right. We said yesterday that Rebbe HaKadosh taught us Arba Ovois Mazikin, that the four Ovois, the four Mazikin which are written in the Torah, have told us. They have secondary types of damages, and the Gemara comes along and toldoseim kayotzebahem or lav kayotzebahem. Do these toldos have the same laws like the others or not? That's the suffix in the Gemara. By the laws of Shabbos, the toldos are like the others. By the laws of Tumah, the toldos are not like the others. So the suffix in the Gemara is, what about by the toldos of Nezikin? Are they like the Ovis or not? But first, let's get an example. What is a Toldah? So if we have an example, we'll be able to follow it better. So the Gemara, today's Gemara, told us Toldahs of Keren. Keren is an Av. It says in the Torah clearly that if an animal gores with its horns, it has to pay, Tam pays Chatzi Nezek, Muad pays Nezek Sholem. And the Gemara says, what are the Toldahs? Negifa, Neshicha, Revitza Be'ita simply means kicking with the body, biting with his teeth, not swallowing, biting, Revitza laying down, or kicking with its foot. Those are toldos. Now, the Gemara has a suffix. Should the toldos be like the avos, or should the toldos not be like the avos? Toldos, but it's a suffix if the toldos are like the others. So the Shita Mekubetzes asks, how did Rebbe HaKadosh know that there are toldos? There's no psukim for it. By the laws of Shabbos, the Gemara Masechta Shabbos says there are psukim to teach us that besides the others malachas, the 39 others, there's also toldos. There's psukim. But the Shita asks, if there's, where there's no psukim, how do we know that there are toldos of nezikin? Maybe there's only those nezikin that it says in the Torah. So the Shita Mekubetzes says an interesting teretz. He says like this. You don't need a pasuk. It's something that's so logical that if neshicha, or let's say negifa, if an animal pushes with its body, isn't it logical and it breaks the, and it breaks somebody's glass, or whatever, turns over somebody's face, whatever thing in the yard. Isn't it logical that it's just like goring with, what's the difference if he hits somebody with his horns or hits somebody with his body? So since it's logical that they're toldos, that there are toldos, that's why you don't need any psukim. By the laws of Shabbos, the Shita Mekubetzes says, yeah, you need special psukim. Because the laws of Shabbos are very complicated, and without special psukim, we would say only the 39 main malachas of Shabbos. That's what you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. So therefore, you need psukim. But by the laws of damages, Rebbe HaKadosh knew that toldos should be like others. That there is such a thing as secondary damages. That's the Shita Mekubetzes. Now, according to this chiddush of the Shita Mekubetzes, that the whole concept of toldos, that there are toldos, are from logic, you should ask me a tremendous question. So what's the Gemara's suffer? Toldoseim kayotze bahem. Olav kayotze bahem. What is the suffix in the Gemara? Do the toldos have the same dinim? And Rashi says, Should they be chayiv like the others, or should they be putter? Now, according to the Shita Megubetzis' logic, wouldn't you say logically they should be chayiv? Because the Shita Megubetzis says it all goes with logic. So if it's logical that the tolders do just as much damage as the others, the thing got broken. Whether it got broken through the horns, which is the av, the main damage in the Torah, or it got broken through the body. So the question of the Achronim, the Pnei Yeshua asked this kasha. He doesn't mean on the Shita Mekubetzes, but the Pnei Yeshua asked the kasha, what's the suffix in the Gemara? Boy, the Gemara is a suffix. Told the same ki yotze bahen or lav ki yotze bahen. How could you have a suffix? Shouldn't it be 100% logical that the tolders should be like the others? That's the shaila of the Pnei Yeshua, another achrei.
Or Shabbos not the same?
By Shabbos, the Gemara says it is the same. Told the same ki yotze bahen. Right? Mean by the Gemara says the tolders are like others. By Tumah we have psukim. By Tumah there are special psukim that the Rishon L'Tumah does not have as much Tumah as a Sheni. Right? The tolders are not as strong as the Rishon. But if, according to the Shita Megubetzis, the whole concept of tolders comes from logic, so the logic should be, you should have to pay. Yeah, Bobby? What is the question? If it's logical that tolders are just as bad as others, what's the suffix in the Gemara, whether you chayiv to pay if a tolder damages or not chayiv to pay? According to the Shita, we just said it's logical that tolders are just as bad as the others. So what's the suffix? Tolders say kiyotze b'hem or lav kiyotze. Of course they should be chayiv. That's the shaila.
There's no reason to say otherwise.
Yeah, why not? On that, there are three tirusim. You know what's the suffix kiyotze? What does it mean in English? What's the suffix? Are you chayiv a putter? If a tolder, I just said that. Isn't that what Rashi explains? It's his chayiv a putter. So the shay, I mean that's what Rashi explains. If you say differently, it could mean something else. But Rashi explains the suffix is, are you chayiv on a tolder or putter? So the kashi and the shayla is, why should you be putter? Quite especially, the whole concept comes from logic. So logically, you should be just as bad. So the Shita gives a very interesting test. The Shita says like this.
To answer the Pnei's question.
To answer this question.
What? Do you know the difference?
The Psukim, I said. Psukim, we know that has different Gedorim. So the Teres, the Shita says, is like this. The Gemara, who had a suffix, knew what Rav Papa said at the end of the Gemara. If you remember, right before the Ratana Rabbanon, Rav Papa, Yeshmeim Kiyotzben, Yeshmeim Lav Kiyotzben. Rav Papa got from his Rebbeim, Rav Papa knew that one of the tolders of the various different damages, one of them is not like the father. One family, like Shor is one family, Bor is a family, we'll call the different others, each father. Rav Papa had a Kabbalah from his Rebbeim that most of them, Yeshmeim Kiyotzben, that the laws of the tolders are like the others. V'yesh, Rav Papa says clearly, Lav Kiyotzben. But the Rav Papa knew, for some reason, that we knew that there's one, and the Gemara later on, I don't want to say it later, you'll have probably a few days later on, at the end of the Gemara, there's one Av, Regel, that has a tolder called Tzroris, I don't want to confuse you. There is a case where the tolder is not like the Av. Rav Papa knew one, but he didn't tell us which one. So the suffix in the Gemara is, which is that one? That's Lav Kiyotze Bahen. Again, the kasha was, why have a suffix whether it's chayiv or putter? Logically, if the father, if the av is chayiv, the tolder should be chayiv. So what's the suffix in the Gemara? What's the Gemara having even a doubt that maybe Lav Kiyotze Bahen? So the Shita answer is like this. Rav Papa later on knew, he got from his Rebbeim, that out of all the Ovis Nezikin, there's one that told the saying Lav Kiyotze Bahen, that the tolder is not, does not have the laws like the Av, but he didn't tell us which one. So the suffix in the Gemara is not on all of them. The suffix in the Gemara is, which is that Av, which is that Av, that the tolder is different than the Av. It's like we know one out of the many is not like the Av. That there was a Kabbalah. Halacha Gemara is going to say later, it's halacha l'moish misina. We have no reason for it. It's not logical, But we know that the told of regel is different than regel. So this, but the Gemara didn't know it's regel yet. So the Gemara asks, which one is it?
Nope.
What? What the suffix is by Nezikin. What the Gemara said, hold on, we're forgetting, leave go of Tumah. The question is, the whole Shaila was, why by Nezikin? What kind of a suffix is there? Whether the tolders of Nezikin are like the father. What kind of suffix? Logically, of course, they should be chayim. The answer is, Rav Papa knew that there's one of them, he had a Kabbalah, that one of them is different, and the suffix in the Gemara is it, which one is it that Rav Papa learned from his Rebbein? One Terence, no? No, that's the Shita's Terence. Yeah, the Shita answers his own Kasha.
Is it was Kasha.
Yeah, yeah. Now, there's another Terence. The Rif and the Rush. The Rif says the Terence, and the Rush explains the Rif a little better. Tonight, you get a chance, look at the Rif. The Rif was also bothered by this Kasha. What is the suffix? This is a separate Terence. Separate Terence. The Kasha was again, what is the suffix in the Gemara whether the tolders, whether the tolders of a Mazik should have the same laws as the Avonah? What's the suffix? Well, logically it should. So this, the Rif and the Rosh answer like this. Because since we see that certain Ovois themselves have different laws, we see that there's a difference between Tam is written in the Torah, Tam is an Av, written in the Torah, and Mu'ud is written in the Torah. Now a Tam has different laws than a Mu'ud. What is a Tam? A Tam is the first three times that an animal gores. That's called a Tam. The first three times a Tam pays half, only has to pay half. And he pays Migufoy. Migufoy means only to the value of the animal itself. The owner doesn't have to pay out of his pocket. You take the animal itself, the tam, you sell it, and let's say if the animal is a very cheap animal, and the damage is a very big damage, you only have to pay to the extent of the value of the animal itself. That's called migufoy, from the value of its own body. So remember, there's two laws by tam. You only pay half nezek, and you only pay from the value of the animal itself. Mu'id pays nezek sholem min aliyah. That means the mu'id, even if the mu'id is only worth $5, if it rang up an expense of $1,000, the owner has to take $1,000 out of his pocket, even though the damage, the animal that did the damage, is only worth $5. Now, so the Rif and the Rush explain like this. The Gemara's suffix is, since we see that Ovois themselves have different laws, Tam pays like this, and Mu'ud pays like this. They have different kinds of payments. So the Gemara's suffix is, maybe a Tolda should also be different than the Av. The Av should pay full price. Like, let's say the Av, if a person's animal gores with his horns, pay full price. But if it gores with his body, it should pay half price. Again, the teretz that the Rif and the Rush answer is like this. The suffix in the Gemara, whether the tolda, if a man's possession damages in a tolda fashion instead of an av, the suffix in the Gemara is, should it be like the av or not? Even though logically it should be like the av, since we see the Torah itself different kinds of payments, that not all of us pay the same amount, not every damage pays nezek sholem from the pocket. Because you see, Tom pays one way, Mu'ud pays another way. So once we see that in the Torah itself there are differences, so the Gemara says, maybe that's the suffix of the Gemara. Maybe Tolders should also have different laws because they're also slightly different. Just like a Tom is different than a Mu'ud, because a Tom didn't get used to goring yet. Tom is not Kavanos Lahazik. I don't want to go into the whole question of Palganizkim Amoyna Knosser or not, which today's Taisus, very hard Taisus. But you see, Tom is already different than Mu'ud in the Torah. If you see that the others are different, maybe the Tolders are also different. That's the second Torah.
Because Tom and Mu'ud are very close to the land, and so different.
Good. And still they're different. Good. Yishmak. Even though they're both really Karen, but Tom is the first three times of Karen, first three times going, and Mu'ud is the fourth time. And that difference between the third and the fourth time makes the difference between Chatzin Nezek and Nezek Sholeh. So you see already that damages are very delicate issues. It could change. So that's the suffolk in the Gemara. Maybe toldas are different than the others, even though they're very close. But since they're not exactly the same, maybe they only have to pay nezek chatzinim. Second shot. Third shot is from the Brisker Rov. Rebelbul Zechat Tzadik Yivracha, the Brisker Rov, says a third, another pshat. He says like this. It's really the opposite of the way Rashi learns. Rashi learns the suffolk in the Gemara. Toldoi seyem kayotze behem, alav kayotze behem. What's the suffolk? Rashi learned the suffolk is, should the toldos be chayiv as much as the av, or should the toldos be putter? That's the way Rashi says. Maybe the toldos are putter because it doesn't say clearly in the Torah. That's the way Rashi learned. And on that we have the kasha of the Pnei Yeshua. Why should they be potter? Of course they should be chayev, because logically they're just like they're the av. That was the kasha. So on that the Brisker Rav says different pshat. When the Gemara had a suffix, the question in the Gemara, are the tolders like the avos or not? The question is, are the tolders like the avos, or maybe the tolders have to pay more than the avos? So you say, how should that be logical? Why should it be that the tolders should pay more than the others? What kind of logic is that? So the Brisker Rav says, no, this is the chap, the punch of the av, which is written in the Torah, has something very interesting about it. There's always an exception by all the four others where you don't have to pay. The Torah made an exception, Exeris HaKosav, for instance, bor. The Torah says that if a bor, a man makes a hole, anything that falls in and damages, man has to pay. But if you learn, those of you who learned already, remember that shor v'loy odom chamor v'loy kelim. That means that the Torah says that only animals that fall into a pit does the owner have to pay. An animal breaks its leg in a hole. But if somebody has vessels, somebody has kelim, glassware, and a glassware falls into a hole, the owner doesn't have to pay. The Torah says you don't have to pay for kalim, for utensils that fall into a hole, you don't have to pay. So that's Exeris HaKosav. So the suffolk in the Gemara is, let's say a tolda of a bor. What exactly a tolda of a bor is, the Gemara will have on Dav Gimel Amud Aleph. But the suffolk in the Gemara is, toldoi seyem kayotze behem olav kayotze behem. If you have a tolda, for instance, I'll give you an example of a tolda. What the Gemara says, let's say Avnei Sakina. Instead of making a hole in the ground, which is the Av, a man puts, let's say, he leaves a suitcase in the middle of the street. Somebody trips over it and breaks something. Now that suitcase is not the Av, because it's not a hole in the ground, but it's a tolder. Why is it a tolder? Because it accomplishes the same thing. What's the difference if you trip on a hole or you trip on a baggage on top of the ground? In both cases, the man hurt himself. He didn't watch where he was going. And this, it was an obstacle. So that's like a tolda. A tolda is the same damage happened, but in a different way. So the suffolk in the Gemara is tolda seyem kayotze behem. Do we say that the toldas also have the same patur, the same exception, like the av, or maybe not? Maybe the Torah made an exception only on the av, only on the main mazik that it says in the Torah, but not on the tolda. I'll give you another example. Let's say, for instance, Eish. Eish is one of the four avos mazikim that it says in the Torah, right? Now that also has a special exception. The law is that fire, person's fire which damages, has to pay for everything except something that's wrapped up. It's called tamun. Tamun is something, let's say a person has a diamond, and the diamond was closed up in a sack, and then I'm assuming a fire, I don't know if it could burn a diamond, but let's say a man had a watch or something. It's only if the fire, if it's revealed, if it's in the open, and then the fire goes and damages it, you have to pay. If something is closed, covered up, the Torah says that you don't have to pay for damages that the fire did. Let's say if a fire went through a field, and inside the field, the man had stuck his wallet with $1,000 bill in it, deep down in the middle, hidden inside the ground. And the fire swept through, he only has to pay for the wheat. He doesn't have to pay for something that was hidden inside the stacks of wheat. But the Gzeres HaKosef, Talmud Ba'esh, is Potter. So the Briskei Rav learns that the Suffolk in the Gemara, Toldoi Seyen Kayetze Behen, or Lav Kayetze Behen, means to say, a told of Eish. What's a told of Eish? Something, for instance, that fell off of a roof. Something coming down, or a man put something on the roof, and then a wind comes, a normal wind comes, and sweeps it off the roof, it lands and it smashes something. That would be a tolda of Eish, because what's Eish? Eish, the wind, takes the fire and pushes it through. The suitcase, which is being pushed by the wind, is like a fire that goes ahead and damages. That's a tolda. The Gemara later will explain that's the tolda of Eish. Why? Because the outcome is the same, but it's a tolda. It's not exactly like fire. It doesn't burn. It smashes. So the Briskei Rav says that's the suffolk in the Gemara. Whether toldei seim kayyotze behem, are the toldas have the dinim like the avronot? The suffolk in the Gemara is, should the tolda also have the same exceptions as the av, that the Torah gave certain exceptions at Yipater? Well, maybe not. Lav kayyotze behem. Maybe when the Torah gave that exception of Taman Ba'esh, each Av, when the Torah gave its exception, it's only on the Av itself, on exactly the way it's written in the Torah. Then the Torah says, if it was done, then you have certain exceptions. But let's say a Tolda, which is not written clearly in the Torah, if a Tolda damages, let's say if this suitcase smashes on something which is covered up, and it breaks through the cover and it smashes, maybe you have to pay anyway. Because since it's not written clearly in the Torah, it doesn't get that special exception. So you understand how that according to the Briskei Rav, the suffolk in the Gemara is just the opposite of the way Rashi learns the suffolk. Again, I'll say it over clearly. Rashi learns the question in the Gemara is, should a tolda carry as much responsibility as the father? Should the tolda, the new, the different kind of damage, should it be chayav also? Or should it be putter because it's not written in the Torah? That's the way Rashi learns the suffer. But on that we have the Pnei Yeshua's question. Why should it be putter? Why should it be free from pain? It caused just as much damage as the av. So what's the suffering in the Gemara whether the tolda should be chayav or not? So that's why the Briskei Rav explains that was not what the Gemara was wondering about. The Gemara was wondering, may the reverse. Maybe a tolda should be worse than the av, because then by the av, which is written in the Torah, shor, bor, mavin, hever, there the Torah gave certain exceptions, that you're free under certain circumstances, you do not have to pay. The Torah, each one has an exception. Everyone, Karen has Katzinezek, all the different little ways that they're putter. So the suffolk in the Gemara is, do the toldas also have the exceptions? Or maybe not. Maybe the toldas do not get the exceptions, and they will have to pay under all circumstances. You see the chap, that's a ga'inish pshat from the Briskei Rav, Zecher Tzadik L'Vrocha. That the question in the Gemara is, maybe the toldas should be worse than the others. No, that's a different shot. It's on all of them.
It
doesn't have to. Not according to the Briskei Rav's pshat. The Gemara be fakir. Even if we didn't know that there was one. Even if we didn't know, that's the Shita Mekubetzis pshat. This is a separate three tirutzim. I'm going to want to leave this half of the shir. It's quite complicated. And hopefully tonight you'll review the three. Basically, we said over the Shita Mekubetzis. We said over Pnei Yeshua, and then we said over three terutim to the kasha of the Pnei Yeshua, the Shita Megabetzis himself, and then we said the other, the Rif, and the Rosh is the second teretz, and then we said the Briskei Rav. That's the first half of the shir. Okay. But yeah.
Let's say the Shifa is like just like Karen. It's like the same halachas, the same. So why
it's
should
the told it
be the told, right? But
because it's not exactly the way it says in the Torah.
But still it has the same,
has to be in the use of the Karen.
Torah says the case in the Torah was that it was done through the horns. If it's done through the body, the closest it could be is called a tolda.
Okay, so what's by Eish? The reason why by Eish the Torah was, said he's not chayav on Tomun is because how she know that the Tomun was there? So in a similar case that's just like Eish, he could say, I didn't know it was there,
Yeah, but the fact that he didn't know, but he was careless with the fire, so he takes responsibility on whatever comes out of it. But the Torah says, if it's covered up, the Torah frees it. So logically, you should be chayav.
As far as there is a kosher,
that's poshut. It's a gzeres
kosher.
But that's right. It's poshut. It's a gzeres kosher. In Akainis, it gets complicated. There is big Torah about it, which we're not ready to go into now. Okay, that was the first half of the shiur. All right. Before we get to the second half, I'm just going to give a little hakdama. This is very easy, but get this down. Anytime a damage takes place, there's always three parts to every damage. It's very simple. And then you'll see how we'll get a little more complicated. Whether it's shor or bor, anytime there's a hezek, anytime there's three parts to every damage. One is called the mazik. That means the object that did the damage. Whether it's the fire, the object, the mazik, the man, whatever, the animal. Then there's the nizik. Sounds simple, but later on you'll see how it'll help you to take apart a piece of gemara. Then there's the nizik. After you got the mazik, which is the thing that did the damage, you got the nizik. That's the thing that received the damage. The glass, the smashed glass, or the animal that got hurt. The nizik. The nizik itself with it. The object that the damage was done to. Then you have the hezek. Mazik, nizik, and hezek. Hezek means the damage itself, the act of breaking the leg, or the act of the smashing, when something falls into the pit, a glass, no, that would be a bad example, whatever, regal, an animal steps on a glass and smashes it. So the animal is the mazik, the glass is the nizik, the loss, and the stepping, the action of the stepping of regal is the hezek.
The owner of the glass.
He's also the nizik. Yeah, he gets the, but the, he loses the money value. But the where the nizik itself, the object itself is the dover that became nizik, the thing that broke. Both are called the nizik. Now, that's the. Every tolda, like I was saying, a tolda basically, the mazik is the same, the nizik is the same, but the way the hezek was done was it was done in a little different way. I'm just showing you that that's where the difference in the tolda is that the sometimes, the hezek, the way the damage took place, instead of being through the horns, it was done through the body, and so on. Okay. Now, the second half of the shiur is after the Torah came along and taught us that nizkei gufoi, as I explained in yesterday's shiur, nizkei gufoi means if a person damages something, you have to pay for it. That's simple. Man goes in and smashes somebody's window, you got to pay. If a man's animal smashes somebody's window, you also have to pay. Now the second part of the shiur is it's a fascinating shiloh in the achronim. The shiloh in the achronim is, we understand nizke gufo. We understand when a man smashes a window, take him to Bezdin, and tell him, listen, what'd you do it for? You have seichel, you have money, go ahead, you broke the window, you have money, you got to pay. The Torah says, you have to pay for damage. The question in the shiloh in the achronim, when the Torah said that a person has to pay if his animal broke the window. So the question is, why does the Torah make him pay? Let him say like this, I didn't break the window, my animal broke the window. So the question is, why did the Torah make him pay for it? One way, there are two ways you could say why the Torah says you have to pay. One Avrami said, because the Torah writes that a man who owns something, a person has to watch his possessions that they shouldn't damage. If he's careless and he does not watch his possessions, so because he's careless, he has to go ahead and pay for the carelessness. That's one way you can learn. Now when a man pays, when his animal breaks a window, he's paying because the man did not do what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to put shmirah, v'lo yishmirenu, he was supposed to watch it, and if he didn't watch it, he pays for the not watching. Remember, he's not, that's one way to learn. There's another way to learn. And the other way is like this. That really, he has to, the Torah says, when a person owns something, it's like his own body. If a person owns a dog, a person owns an animal, your possessions are like you yourself, your field, whatever you own, whatever you, it's like part of you, it's your possessions, it's like you. So just like when you damage, you have, but technically the ticket goes for the damage that the property, a man's property, caused damage, that for that he has to pay. So you'll ask me, so let's say if a man has an animal and he puts a tremendous gate around it, a 6-foot high gate, and then the animal all of a sudden got a tremendous amount of energy and jumped over a 6-foot gate and went and did damage. So would he have to pay? B'chari, you would say to me, well, according to the first pshat, he would not have to pay because he watched it. He made a fence, the normal fence that normally should keep him in. But according to the second pshat, if the reason why a person has to pay is because any possessions that you own, you carry responsibility for, so even if he jumped over a 6-foot fence, he should also have to pay because it's your money that did the damage. But you learned yesterday, if you learned Hakainis, I hear you're changing different prokim, but now yesterday the Mishnah Hakainis says that if a man takes in an animal and he closes the door properly, he does not have to pay. Why not? Even though it's his animal. So the teretz is, because if he does a good watching, if he watches the animal the way he's supposed to, the Torah rips up the chiyuv. In other words, the chiyuv, technically, since he owned the animal, that itself should be a reason why he should have to pay for it. But if a person does shmirah, because it's an extension of it, if he does shmirah, if he watches what he's supposed to watch, then it's a tour. We let him go free. Instead of, technically he should have been chayiv because it was his property that caused the damage, but we let him go free because he did the Torah came along and said we let him off the hook because he did some watching. Oh, that's what I'm waiting for. B'chara, you should ask me a shayla, really, what difference does it make? It comes out whether b'chara, in order for a person, that's the next step of the shiur. I'm glad that you asked that question. Akhara, I'm just saying two things. I'm just repeating myself. But if you're going to watch carefully, you'll see that there's a big difference between the two ways. Well, the first way is that the responsibility to pay is directly because of his laziness. Because he did not put the lock on the barn and the animal went loose. That's the reason why the Torah says you have to pay. For the laziness that the owner did not put the lock on. The second way is that the reason why he has to pay is because it was his animal that went out and damaged. If he would have been smart and put the lock on, then the Torah would free him from the payment. But the source of the chiyuv of payment for any damage, according to the second pshat, is because he owns the property. It was his animal that caused the damage. According to one, the difference in logic, before we get a daf kamina l'halacha, but the difference in lumdus between the two pshatim, try to get it. You have an ozel, and the Moshe Zatzal, many achrenim work with this shayla. That's what I told you. This is a general shayla which can come in handy many different places. it's first glance, it sounds like very close. What exactly am I saying? So I'm going to try again to make myself clear. When the Torah makes a person responsible for paying Arbovus Nezikin for his shor, for his achreis, let's take shor as the simplest. His animal goes and eats up somebody else's vegetables. Shame. Right. Now, if he put a lock on the door and the animal somehow, achreis, a hurricane came in the middle of the night, or robbers came and opened up the door and the animal went out and ate up somebody else's property, does he have to pay? No. Because he made a good lock. And it wasn't his fault. The question is, if he did not make a good lock, he just let his animals roam free, and his animal went away and ate up somebody's field, or his animal went and gored somebody else's animal, then he has to pay, right? The question is he paying because he didn't lock it? Or is he paying because it was his animal that caused the damage? The question is, do we look at is locking up the animal, when your person locks up the animal, does that sort of take off the chiyuv that is on his animal if the animal would have damaged? Or do we say the reverse? The chiyuv starts from not locking the door, from the fact that he was lazy and not doing the shmirah that he was supposed to do. So you'll tell me, you'll ask me, what's the difference? If he put a lock on, he's putter anyway. If he did not put the lock on and he let the animal go free, he's going to be chayev anyway. So what's the difference if we catch him in Bezdin because it's his animal that did, when he didn't put the lock on? What's the difference if the chiyuv is because it was his possession, he owned the animal? Or whether because he was lazy, he didn't put the lock on. You need both. You need two conditions to be chayav. What? The Mishnah says, very good. So the Mishnah, the reason Poshet is that Lachari, you need both. You have to own you own the animal, and also you did not watch it. That's the only time you have to pay. So what's the difference?
About the case of when he doesn't lock it good?
Yeah, because when he locks it good, then I told you, the Mishnah says he's potter. Because he did everything he could do. He's allowed to own the animal, and he put on a good lock on it.
So the shaila is
when he did not put the lock on, but a man lets his mazik for a fire. He didn't watch his fire, and the fire goes out and damages. The suffix in that freedom is, why does the Torah make him pay for the damages? Is he paying because he owns the potential this mazik? Is that the main reason why he's paying? Or is he paying because he didn't watch it? So the question is, what's the difference? He's going to have to pay anyway.
Both.
What?
It's both.
Oh, so the question, you need both anyway. So the Eben Ozel comes and he says an interesting nafka mina. He says like this. A nafka mina would be if a person would let his animal, an interesting shaila. And the Eben Ozel says, he has this shaila, and he says an interesting case will be a chapanath kamina, between the two reasons, between the two logics. In a case where Reuven owned an animal, and Reuven went away on vacation, it's complicated, he went away on vacation, and he didn't put a lock on. He was lazy. His next door neighbor, Shimon, sees that Reuven went away on vacation, and Shimon goes ahead and Shimon puts a lock on the corral. And then what happens is a hurricane comes and lightning strikes and cuts down the lock, falls apart, and the animal goes free and damages. Reuven comes back from vacation and they take him to court. Listen, your animal went away. Your animal went out and damaged. Arbov is Nezikin, Ashor of Abor. So the neighbor comes to court and the neighbor says, well, listen, I testify, I put the lock on, and if I put the lock on, so it was an accident. It was an onus. Reuven, he wants to free his neighbor from having to pay. What would you say? Could Bezdin say to him like this, when you went away on vacation, you didn't put a lock on? So you did not do the shmirah that you were supposed to do. The fact that your neighbor went ahead and did it for you, it didn't help. Too bad. Lamaisa, the lightning struck, and the lock came off, and therefore you have to pay. So the Eben Ezra says that'll depend whether this person will be chayiv to pay for the damages of his animal will depend on these two, on how do you look at the chiyuv when the Torah says that a man has to pay for nizkei mamona, for something, for damages that his possession caused. It'll depend. How will it depend? If the chiyuv is that anything that a person owns, if a person owns something, he has to pay for the damages that his possessions do, unless he goes ahead and does a shmirah. If he watches his own possessions, then he frees himself. But over here, where he didn't do anything, he went away on vacation, and it was his money that went ahead and damaged, so he has nothing to free himself from the chiyuv. Because the chiyuv comes because any person's animals or possessions that do damage, you're chayiv until you free yourself by making a shmirah. Since the owner himself didn't make a shmirah, he went on vacation, so we can't use the shmirah that his neighbor did, because he himself, the owner who owned the animal, had the responsibility for all damages that would come out of it until he himself watches it.
He can make a shliach.
But he didn't make a shliach. Sure, but he didn't make a shliach. He went away without. The friend himself did it. But if you learn that the chiyuv for pain, for damages, comes when there's no shmirah, in other words, really, the person is... For if an animal goes and damages and nobody watched it, so if there's no watching, and then you go ahead free, so without any watching, you have to pay for it because there was no watching. So the Evan Ozel says, he just puts a lock on it. The ski is only when you buy something, you own it. Yeah, zoche is only you purchase something, but to be zoche the shmirah, I mean, shmirah is an action of shomer. And the shmir is that, that's only by kinyonim, is chiyuv. It's chiyuv, you want to own an object. So therefore, the Eben Ozel says that in such a case, he would be potter. Because if the whole chiyuv comes, that the animal had no protection, the chiyuv is because the animal had no protection on it. So the Eben Ozel says, it doesn't matter whether he makes the protection or his neighbor makes the protection. As long as the animal had the protection, that's enough. So the kids here, I'll just say over the shaila we had in the achronim is when it says in our Mishnah, arba avos nezikin, when a man has a mazik, whether it's shor or bor, and it goes ahead and it does a damage, the man has to pay. So we had a shaila in the achronim, is the reason why the Mishnah says you have to pay for damages that your objects do, is that because you own the objects? The chiyuv is because anything that you own carries as if you yourself did it, because since you own it, it's like yours. Or is the reason why you have to pay because, not because you owned it, but because you did not have any protection. Because there was no protection on this object. And you were the one that could have seen to it. It was in your power to protect the animal from damaging. If it goes out and damages without having been protected, so for having no protection, so you have to pay for it because there was no protection around the mazik. So the nafkamina, the Eben Ozel says, the nafkamina will be if Reuven had owned the animal and he went away and Shimon made the protection. According, if the chiyuv is for anything you own, so then the Eben Ozel says, unless you yourself made the protection, you still have to pay because you still own it. But if the chiyuv, the main chiyuv, comes because the object had no protection around it, in this case where Shimon went ahead and he did put a key around, put a lock, and then there was an accident, so Reuven could use that. Reuven could say there was a protection, even though I didn't do it. You might, if you think about it, you might want to look at it differently, which is possible. But I'm telling you over. This is an important nafkamina, and hopefully later on we will come in.